like, nope, 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 nope. And then the big play came. It's the death of the firstborn. And Pharaoh's like, get him out of here. So you, alongside millions of others, underneath the great leadership of Moses, you're going. You're leaving. You're experiencing something that you've never experienced in your life, and that's freedom because of your leader, Moses. So you go, and then, you know, you're like, okay, there's the sea. The Egyptians didn't exactly teach me how to swim, so what am I supposed to do here? And then you look back, and you notice that the armies of Egypt is coming for your head. Moses, what are we going to do? Whew. The Red Sea just splits wide open. Man, this is kind of awesome. Let me just go ahead and walk around there. You know, and you look, and then the last person, you know, as soon as the last person, the last Hebrew Israelite person comes through, the waters close up and is swallowing, you know, the soldiers of the Egyptians. They're just swallowed up in the water. And you're like, okay. A little later on down the road, Moses comes to you at the Mount Sinai, and you see his face all glowing, and he gives you a law. This is how you treat God. This is how you treat people, all underneath the leadership of Moses. Then, you know, he tells you about this amazing land that God is going to give you. So you're excited about the land, and then, you know, the people start tripping. They start doubting God, and you have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And even in the wilderness, you're still seeing God at work. You're still seeing amazing things happen, and he's coming, and it's happening underneath your leader, Moses. So after all of this stuff, you're getting ready to go to the promised land. Super excited about it. And then Moses comes to you. And Moses addressed everybody and goes, hey, I'm leaving. I can't go with you into the promised land. This guy Joshua is going to be your leader. This guy. Can you imagine how you may feel right there? Moses, you've been here since I was little. Like, you've always been my leader. You're the only leader that I know. You. I follow you, man. Joshua, I know, you know, you're saying amazing things about this guy, but you're my leader. Like, So you meet with him one-on-one, and you know in your heart, in your spirit, I have to communicate something to him. And that feeling, y'all, is the feeling of gratitude. It is your responsibility to tell that man, your leader, man, I appreciate you. Y'all, our Moses, who is, thank God, still here, but he stepped down, is Dennis. This is standalone sermon. I title this Dennis. If we all can stand up and give it a round of applause for our Moses, it would be beautiful. Love you, Dennis. Appreciate you. Now, if you look, it said Moses died. So I actually brought a shotgun. All right. And so, Dennis, no, I was joking. Sorry. Joke. Gotcha. All right. Everybody in here, every single person, it is your duty, your responsibility. You should express your gratitude to everybody that's furthered your faith, because that's what God requires of you. You should express your gratitude. And we're going to talk about that. And so if you got your Bibles, we're going to go ahead to Luke chapter 17. We're going to start with verse 11. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 17, okay? If you ain't got your Bible, don't worry about it, because it's right there right there for you. All right? Everybody good right now? Everybody good right now? Yep. Let's dive into it, okay? Heidi, my beautiful hot wife, is going to read for me. And Heidi, I'm going to interrupt you a lot, but hey, who am I kidding? You're used to me doing that, right? So let's go, okay? Wait. How many people met him? 10. And what was ironic, what was unique about these people? So 10 men with leprosy, 10. So this just shows you, like, there was a leper colony. Now, back then, they didn't call them leper colonies, but some things that you need to know about lepers, if you had leprosy, that was the worst disease you can have at that time. You can see it all everywhere, leprosy, terrible. And so if you had leprosy, you were excommunicated from the community. You had to live on the outskirts of community, way far off. And if you wanted to go into the market, if you wanted to go into wherever you want to go to, the temple, there were special hours, a leper hours that you had to go in. You know, I mean, you were literally on the outside. You were in the fringes outside of the community. And so 10 lepers, you know, my posse, me and the snow skin crew. I'm saying, you know, we're cool. All right. And then they said, you know, they was calling out to Jesus. And this is what they said. They stood at a distance. I'm sorry, Heidi, you can keep going. Okay, now, they stood at a distance because, again, they were on the outside of community, and they couldn't deal with folks that just, you know, that were normal. You know, they didn't have leprosy. They just couldn't deal with folks, be close to folks like that. They couldn't do that. And so they saw Jesus, and they heard about Jesus. They heard about him. They heard about his miracles, and they're like, okay, what do we have to lose? This guy obviously can help us out. And so they stood at a long distance, and they was like, hey, oh, Jesus, hey, over here. Hey, yeah, see me in the posse? So check this out, Jesus. Can you have pity on us? Can you help us out? You know, and it shows you, they said, like, have pity on us. Because it was often said that if you had leprosy, like, it was some, you know, it was some a sin in your life or whatever. But they identified Jesus as the one that can heal them. And so from a distance, hey, Jesus, help me out. Have pity on us. Man, like, come on. This is really pretty girl that I've been liking since the second grade, Lakeisha. And Lakeisha, she got really nice, baby, smooth skin. And she was like, ugh, yo, you got leprosy. Get up out of here. And so I couldn't meet with her. So can you help me out real quick? And this is what Jesus do. Let me pause right there. So normally, Jesus, like, would. I just stepped on the Kleenex again. All right, I did it first service. So normally, Jesus, he will go to them. He'd be like, Dave, I love you. I'm about to get real awkward. And Jesus would touch them. Dave, you're healed. All right? that's the type of person that Jesus is. Man, you have a really sturdy lap. I'm a big guy. That was awkward. Jesus would come and touch them, say, yo, you're healed. But Jesus does something differently. So they called out to him, and he called out to him back, and he goes, all right, this is what you need to do. Go to the priest, and you are all right. And so as they went, they were saved. Now, the reason why they had to go to the priest, because they had to go to them, it was Levitical law, that any time you had any problem, Old Testament law, any time you had any problem, you were sick, you had to go to the priest, and the priest would look at you and goes, all right, let me check you out. I say, la, 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 whatever, check your reflexes, whatever. And then after all of that, he goes, okay, you're good. You can go back into the community. So Jesus says, go to the priest. Now, we don't know if the priests were in Jerusalem. More than likely, you know, they had to travel all the way to Jerusalem, you know, pretty ways journey to go there. But as they went, they were saved. I mean, they were healed. I don't know how they were. I don't know if they stopped and they took a nap, and I don't know how, but I can just imagine. I'm a comical dude. I can just imagine, you know, every step they took, they were being healed. And so I can imagine they're like, ooh. Man, shoot, I'm gonna get up, oh, wee, you know, I can't, you know, they're like, man, I just wanted to power walk all the way over there. I was super excited. They got to the priest, and the priest was like, man, you're good. Wow, 10 of you guys, go back, you're good. You're free to go back to your towns. And Heidi, go ahead, go real quick. Wait, how many? Question. How many were healed? How many came back? 10 people were healed, but only one came back. Now, Jesus addressed this very thing. Go ahead, keep going, Heidi, please. Jesus asked a very important question. Like, now the leper came, and he goes, Jesus, I thank you so much. I get to finally pursue Lakeisha, you know. But before anything, he came back and goes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing me. Like, you are who you said you are. I believe the hype. Like, yo, Jesus, come on. Thank you. Thank you for healing me. And Jesus looked and like, man, where are the other nine? Where's the other nine? Now, this is the reason why Jesus said that. Now, Jesus was like, bro, you are right for coming through, but the other nine needs to express their gratitude. They need to show thankfulness. Like, that's what they're supposed to do. That's what they're required to do, because this process is like, it's like stop. The loading, like, stopped at like 99%. You know, we need to complete this process, and you're being grateful when you're communicating that. That's big. Not just being grateful, but communicating being grateful completes the circle, completes the process. Now, I am certain those other nine dudes were excited and they were grateful. I'm certain of it. But the problem is they didn't communicate that, which leads me to my first point. Unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. Whenever you don't say thank you, whenever you don't say you're grateful for somebody, whenever you don't communicate that to them, you're communicating something else, which is, I am not appreciative. I am not thankful for that. That's how they hear it. Whether you may have the best intentions or not, if you are not actively communicating that you are grateful for somebody else, they're doing whatever, they're gonna hear like you're not grateful at all. Now, two things in this situation. The person that's not communicating they are grateful, they almost never are aware of it. Almost never. I mean, you don't think that you're just sitting down one day and you're like, I've been kind of ungrateful lately. Let me go back and talk to them. How do you even aware of that a lot of the times? A lot of times somebody tells you and you're like, oh. But the person that are experiencing that, they're almost always aware of it. So think about that. If you don't know that you're doing that, and they always know, you can see how that can be a rift in the relationship. You know, are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Husbands, what if you did that to your wives? You would die. I don't know, your wife has done something amazing for you. I remember we were in Memphis, Tennessee one day. Right, I love mowing the yard. Well, I love mowing the yard back then because everything was flat, and over here, you know, thing is like a third degree decline or whatever. It's terrible. But I remember being in Memphis. I love mowing the yard. This is a time that I can see immediate results because I'm in ministry, and it takes forever to see stuff, you know, come to fruition sometimes. And cutting the grass, you see immediate results. Everything is clean and cut, and you're like, whew, and it's good. And it's also, it's just you and a lawnmower, and you can just go. Well, one day after a long day's of work, I'm just so excited about mowing the yard. And we had a pretty big yard in Memphis. And I come home and everything is done. There is not a blade of grass that is an inch taller than what it needs to be. I mean, Heidi mowed it. She weeded it. She did everything perfectly, probably better manicured lawn than I could ever do. And I come in, you know, just like an ogre. What did you do? I mowed the lawn for you. Yes. No, I was looking forward to that. That's my job. I'm the man. He-man. That's what I'm supposed to do. And she was so excited. All she wanted me to do was to chill, relax. She had dinner done. All she wanted me was just to chill, relax, just kick my feet up. I didn't express to her how much I appreciated her. I communicated to her that I didn't. And ladies and gentlemen, whenever you communicate or don't communicate that you appreciate them, Let's go to the next slide. Unexpressed gratitude is experienced as rejection. Now, God made it inside of our DNA, every single one of us, that we just want a sense of belonging. You know, we all want to be accepted. Every single one of us, no matter how much we want to say like, oh, no, I'm a loner. I don't need anybody. Whatever. God didn't create you that way. God created us to experience one another. God created us to be the community, to be the church, to be with each other. All right? Whenever you limit yourself from people, you limit yourself from God. And so we always want to be together. But whenever you don't communicate to somebody how much you appreciate them, how thankful you are for them, how grateful you are, experience as rejection. That means they look at you and they're like, okay, not only are they not appreciating this fact, they don't appreciate me. They don't even want me around. It's communicated as if like, okay, you know, I don't appreciate you. I don't want you. I don't require your fellow. I don't appreciate your fellowship. I don't want to be around you. Like, I reject you. A lot of times, that's how it's communicated. Can you imagine it? Just by simply not saying thank you for something over and over again, it's communicated that you reject them. It goes a little deeper. And it goes deeper than that. Next slide. Over time, that means when it happens again and again and again and so on and so forth, there's no communication of your gratitude. It's unexpressed gratitude has the same effect as rejection, the same effect. When you be rejected over and over and over and over and over again, and you don't like that feeling, you're gonna try to escape that feeling. I am tired of being rejected by you. Therefore, let me sever the relationship and let me move on. We see it in marriages, we see it in friendships, we even see it in the body of Christ, our church, us. See the New Beginnings, see the First Baptist, you see it everywhere. See it everywhere. Can you imagine? You know, just think about this. The person that you love them. You pledge your allegiance to them. I mean, you have a great you desire to have a great relationship. And that person communicates to you, I don't want you, I don't want you. Get away, get away, get away, get away. Do you know how that feels? Some of you all know exactly what that feels like. But whenever we don't communicate how much we appreciate them, that's exactly what the other person is feeling. Maggie. So y'all know I got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And so this was Maggie's 3-year-old birthday. And so a girl came to the house, and we were at camp, so she came to our cabin, and she made Maggie a cool blanket, because, you know, whatever, what 4-year-old wants, a blanket, right? But it was cute, though. I mean, it was big, and had all these colors. It had a big old M right there in the middle of it, and she sewed it. I mean, she took hours and hours and hours to make that thing for Maggie. And so Maggie was in the back minding her business. And so we said, hey, yo, Maggie, come, this lady has a surprise for you for your birthday. And Maggie runs, surprise or whatever. And she looks in this big old huge Dora the Explorer bag. And she's just waiting to play whatever this toy is that will provide her fun and salvation for the rest of her life. And so she goes and she sees all this tissue paper. And she's like, And so she's ripping the tissue paper just a lion with a gazelle, just ripping all of this stuff. And then she gets to the blanket and she, throws it just like the tissue paper. And she's looking, she's like, where's the gift? Where the gift at? Maggie, this is it. She went, no! Picked it up, and pow, just Hulk slammed it and stormed off. And I'm like, Heidi, get your daughter. Come on. What is up with this little ungrateful kid? You know, and don't act like my child isn't the only, crazy one out there. All right? Think about it. If you have your child all right, your niece or your nephew or grandchild or whatever, in your hand, and somebody comes up to give them something, all right? And they're like, oh, yes, and they rip open the M&Ms and they're just diving into it. What's the first thing you're going to tell that kid? Say thank you. What do you say?
Thank you.
You know? Because you want to complete that process. The process has to be completed. There was a process of somebody saw something, they're like, hey, such and such were like that. Let me grab that for them. And they're thinking of their mind. And so they go on the journey to give that to them. And they see them and they're excited about giving it to them. And then, and so they go here and they hand it to them. You know, that process is going through, you know, and they get it. Oh, the process is almost complete. Just say thank you. And don't say anything. And it's like, oh. That lady, you should have saw her face. Like, you know, she was like on the outside. She's like, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, no, don't worry about it. Yeah. You know, and we're like, oh, my gosh, we're so embarrassed, you know. Even though she was a four-year-old girl that as irrational as ever, this adult just wanted to complete their process. She doesn't even want to be rejected by a four-year-old, you know? We have to complete that. But there's a reason sometimes. It goes a little deeper. And some of you all may not want to hear this. I'm sorry, you know, take it up with God. But maybe there's a deeper reason why we don't communicate our gratitude in the first place. Next slide. Maybe we don't express our gratitude because we have an inflated view of ourselves. What? That's what I paid for them to do. Why should I say thankful? You're supposed to do that, you know? Oh, no, they're going to do that. That's what I pay them for. Yes, I deserve this vacation. Yes, I deserve this raise. That's who I am. Do you have any idea who I am? You know? Wow, you know? Sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, sometimes we get so infatuated with ourselves, we don't communicate to others, we appreciate them. You know what that does? That puts you on the pedestal and they put them down there. Because again, it shows them that you reject them. And over time, that relationship can be severed. So maybe we need to do a little dying, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe we need to sit and analyze and be like, okay, what do I need to do? Who am I grateful for? What have they done for me? Whether it's small, whether it's huge. Let's go to this last slide. Everybody in here. Now, right now, I'm speaking specifically for you Christians. We owe a debt of gratitude. Well, actually, everybody in here owes a debt of gratitude. Everybody in here. And it's not enough just to feel it. We have to express it, must express it. Before camp, went to China. And Chinese men, they have a very, very, very difficult time of expressing love. Expressing love to their wives, expressing love to their children. I mean, just more, just culturally, it's just not there. If you see an affectionate man in China, in Chinese culture, it is the unicorn. You know, it is the lottery ticket. It is very, very rare. And so we're sitting in the small group, and we're sitting around a bunch of leaders and this one pastor who pastors a successful church there in Beijing. We were, it was just men, and we had an interaction with them. We were just talking about how we should express our love to our brothers and sisters. And then we went a little deeper, and we were like, this is how, you know, we should express love to our children, and we should express love to our wife. And this pastor kind of interrupts us and boldly, very politely, but very boldly, says, you know what, like, I don't think that I need to really express it out loud because I can feel it. And God knows that, and God will expose that in her heart. And the wife, you know, I can't imagine what the wife is feeling, you know. And so the guy, Soup Campbell, who was talking to that guy, he goes, "Yo, I got this answer." He goes, "Question for you. Whenever you're hungry, what do you say to your wife?" I'm hungry. Surprise. You know, says that, so whenever you are feeling something inside, you communicate that to her. And then what happens after you communicate that to her? Well, you know, she listens, and then, you know, she cooks, and then we eat, and everything is good. He goes, okay. And so you have what it takes to communicate what's inside of you out. Because now this is how selfish it is. Whenever you want your needs filled, you express it to her. But when you know, you should tell them you love them, you appreciate them, you're grateful for them. Thank you so much for making the bed. Thank you so much for being my friend. Thank you so much for leading me to the Lord. Thank you so much for taking time out to do this Bible study. Thank you so much for coming to my house. Thank you so much for working for me. So on and so forth. Whenever it's time for that, then we're silent. And whenever we're silent, ladies and gentlemen, we are killing the community. We are killing the church, because whenever you tell people you love them, you appreciate them, you're grateful for them, you desire them, then that will create a close, tight-knit community impenetrable by the enemy. And then that community is what affects the world. That community is the one who penetrates, infiltrates the world on God's behalf. You think it's not supernatural by just saying thank you to somebody? Supernatural when you just simply say, I'm thankful for you. But in Genesis 3, sin came. And we're all infected with that sin, and when sin makes it all about us, and whenever it's about you, ladies and gentlemen, the gospel, it's not being spread. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's never been about us. In fact, the scriptures, I said in a Wednesday, the scripture tells us the very reason why we exist in Him, in God, that we live and we move and we have our being. We are created only because of Him and His purpose. That's it. And once we get through that, through our thick skulls, everything's going to be a whole lot better. Maybe you all are sitting here and you go, what do I have to be grateful for? You have any idea how little money I got in the bank account? You have any idea what just happened to me? You have any idea what happened to me whenever I was a kid? Do you have any idea of the struggles I go through? Do you know where I live? You know who I live amongst? Ain't got nothing for being grateful for. If you sitting here believe that, and you asking yourself this question, what do I have to be grateful for, Richard? The answer is everything. Why? Because did you know that the author of the universe, Jesus Christ, saw you in your distress? And what do I mean about that? Every single person in here has sinned. Every single one. And you have broken God's laws. Broken. And there's nothing that you can do to save you from the wrath of God. The word says, for the wages of sin is death, meaning you should be separated from God forever. That's your punishment because of your breaking God's laws. But God loved you so much, He saw you in your distress, and He died for your sins so you wouldn't have to. Jesus Christ lived perfectly, didn't sin once, and took your punishment so you wouldn't have to. And so that one day, even after you've been living year after year after year of rejecting God, one day, God illuminates your heart and you go, God, I submit. Forgive me of my sins. I make you the Lord of my life. And thank you so much for dying on the cross for my sins. And thank you so much for defeating sin. You rose on the third day. I am yours. What do you want me to do with my life? He's waiting for that. And then you will be saved. And you will be with Him forever. What do you have to be grateful for? Everything. The God who created everything is madly in love with you. If you don't know Him, know this. Know this. He loves you and He waits. Come on. I'm trying to get your attention. There is a reason why you're here right now. Your being here is supernatural. And for our saints, for us saints, hear this. There are men and women that made sure, that gave everything so you may know the gospel, that you're equipped, that you can teach, that you can learn. Dennis started New Beginnings for that specific reason. Tell him. Tell others. Tell Rachel. Tell Scott. Thank you so much that I don't have to, I can come in a place that I can invite somebody that is clean and it's nice and it's working. Thank you. Thank you so much, Rach and crew, for looking after my children. Thank you so much, Dennis, for starting this place. Thank you, whoever. Thank you so much, thrift store. Thank you, whatever. Just show your gratitude. Let them know that you are on their team and you love them and you desire to be with them because you're building the community. It's supernatural, the words that are coming out of your mouth. Be grateful. God loves you. And since God loves you, you love others and you love him. Amen? If you don't know Jesus, here's an opportunity. The time is right now. You're here for a reason. We can do anything. We can do everything for you except respond to the gospel. The time to do it is right now. If that's you, prayer team, we can come up. If that's you, or if you just want some prayer. Also, I'm sorry. You sitting there and pride is going to get you. I promise you. Pride is going to get you and you're going to be like, oh my goodness, you know, now I have to say something just because they said something or whatever. If you ain't done it already, it's already communicated. Die to that pride and just do it. This is God talking to you. I'm not God, but I am his hands and his feet and his instrument. Just deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow him. Amen? Amen. If you want prayer, prayer team, go ahead and come up. We're here for you.